Will you pray with me? God, I ask that you would move in our hearts this morning with the things that you desire us to see. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move in this place, and that if there is conviction that needs to come to us, that your Spirit would bring that. And I pray that you would lead us, each of us in here, to be what Psalm 78 is talking about. So thank you for being present. And may you speak your words here today. Amen. I have to be honest with you and tell you that when I first met with Pastor and Troy and we started talking about this series in Psalms, that I was really anxious to preach the text that we're going to look at today. I was really excited about it. And the reason being is because we're going to be looking at generational faith. And I feel like, to some degree, as we talked, I'm in a spot where I'm in between everything. I work with a generation that I'm not a part of. This past week, I met with two guys who are youth pastors in the area, 23 and 24 years old. It was the first time I ever felt old in doing what I do. And so as I was thinking on this text, I was really anxious because I thought, I'm not old enough to be a parent of a college student, but I'm not young enough to really fully mix with the generation that I get to be with every week. And so as I was looking at Psalm 78, I realized that that text has nothing to do with my ministry to my students. And it has everything to do with me personally. So as I started going, I realized that I hate that I have to preach this text this morning. The reason being is because it's hit me pretty hard. And I'm also not comfortable preaching this text this morning because, quite honestly, I think some of you are not going to like what I have to say. And that makes it tough. A couple years ago, I got this Christmas present, and it was a present from my children, and I remember opening it up thinking, oh great, a coffee mug. And it's this red coffee mug with all this black stuff on it, and my children made it for me. Now, it wasn't their idea. Gavin and Kiana were too young to think up this concept, but my wife took them, and they painted this, and they got their feet full of paint, and they did something. And so I opened it, and I read it. And my kid's feet is on here, and it says, Daddy, we walk in your footprints. Now, that's a great gift. It's better than any Father's Day tie that you could ever get. But this was a great gift because every morning, whenever I get up and I drink from my coffee, I can see this nice little phrase, we walk in your footprints. And then I read Psalm 78, and I realize that this is much deeper than just a coffee mug that I drink from. This goes deeper than that because of what Psalm 78 says. I want you to open to Psalm 78, and I want you to see what is happening there. See, Psalm 78 is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was put in the temple by King David, and he was a worship leader there. He was one of the musicians, and so he spent his days there. And Asaph writes this psalm, and this psalm shows the stumbling of a people. And it's a psalm of forgetting, and it's a psalm of God's love. It's a psalm of people being called back to pass on the story. It's a psalm of the path of holiness. It's a psalm of the faith of Abraham. In 72 verses of this psalm, Asaph tells old stories. Old stories of Israel. Yet this psalm is a direct calling to us this morning. It's a direct link to us as we sit here. And so we have to dwell in this psalm and see what is it that Asaph is telling us. In fact, it's time for you and I to rise up and pass on the faith like we never have before. That's what we find in Psalm 78. Now, with 72 verses, we're not going to go through the entire psalm. That's hard to do. But I want to focus on the first eight. So read those with me. Asaph says this: "My people, hear my instruction. Listen to what I say. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our fathers have passed down to us. We must not hide them from their children, but must tell a future generation the praises of the Lord, his might, and the wonderful works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children, so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commandments. Then they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God." Back in May, I had the opportunity to teach you two Sundays on something called the Shema. And it's found in Deuteronomy 6, where Steve read to us. And if you can think back to Deuteronomy 6 real quick and what Steve was reading, in that text, it says that it was the parents or the fathers that were supposed to take God's word, the words that God was giving them, and to repeat them to their children. And they were to do it whenever they would wake up in the morning before they would lay their head down at night. When they would go and travel, as they would travel, they were to repeat the words to their children. And in fact, at one point it even says to write them over your homes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. All this was to be part of each family of Israel. And as we look there, we realize that this text today that we're reading is a direct link to that one. There's a lot in common. And so this morning, we have to dwell there and see what is happening within our generations. So Asaph starts this whole text in Psalm 78, and he starts it by saying, "Hear my instruction." If you notice, it's in verse 1. He says, "Hear my instruction." And the reason that is so key is that whenever they would read this and read what Asaph's about ready to say, it means that something important is coming. It means that the words that follow are something that you have to take a look at, and that at that point, some reflection has to be done on our lives personally. So let me ask you something real quick. Are you sitting in here, did you come this morning not to just sing songs or give an offering or hear somebody talk, but did you come ready to hear God's word? Did you come ready to hear what God says from his word and then put it into your life and act on it? See, that's what's happening when Asaph is saying this. He's saying it is time for us to understand what is happening. He is calling people back to the faith of what God had been setting up. And so the first three verses in Psalm 78 is Asaph saying, "I will teach. I will tell you. And then the rest of the chapter is basically the old stories of Israel. Great stories. Stories that need to be told. Stories of faithfulness and stumbling and the grace of God. And then Asaph gets to verses 4 through 7. And in verses 4 through 7, Asaph says, you will teach. He says, you will do this. And that's where we as a church this morning, where we need to dwell in these verses of what's happening. I need to tell you that I love the church of God. I love what Christ did in setting up his church. I love the church. Not the building that we're sitting in this morning, but the one that consists of lives all around this world. I love the church that is here in Mackinac that we are sitting and we praise God together. And I love the thought of the church in Africa sitting underneath a tree, worshiping God and reading his word, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But I need to tell you something that is kind of hard. I think we have become people that have gotten caught up in the consumeristic church that our American culture has made. We're consumers all the time. We consume and consume, and somewhat we have come and approached church the same way. We walk in here and we consume things at Newcastle. And so I have seen myself getting caught up in this. I'm a byproduct of the consumer church. Many of us in this room are. And so what I've seen is this, is that we have become accustomed to expecting the church to raise our children spiritually. We've become accustomed to that. Now, I'm not saying that the programs that we run are bad. I lead one of those programs. I'm not saying that that's bad, but we have come to the realization of expecting that when we walk in, that our church will raise our children spiritually. We walk in as adults, and we sit down in our chairs, and we have this expectation that our adult Sunday school teachers are going to raise us adults up spiritually. And then, when we're done with Sunday morning, we walk out into the rest of our week. And that our time for raising spiritually was just done in 1 hour or 2 hours on a Sunday morning. And so we've become a people that has become consumeristic and not intentional. And so Asaph, and you might think this, okay? You might think I'm overstating it. And that's okay. But I want you to see what Asaph is saying here. Because what Asaph is writing down reveals the roles that we play in the lives around us. In verse 3, Asaph talks of things, okay? Things we have heard and known. He's talking about the old stories, the stories of Israel. And do you notice how they are passed down? Through the family. The stories are passed down through the family. Fathers have passed down to us. Now, it doesn't say that the temple will pass on the stories. It doesn't say the church will pass on the stories. Now, it can't say that because the church isn't in existence yet. But Asaph, one who dwells in the temple, who worships God there, leads people in worship, knows there's teaching that's taking place, does not say that the stories will be passed on through the temple. He says the stories that are passed on through the family. And as we look at this, we got to understand that this is a direct link to the families and the family structure, that that is to be the place that we pass on our faith. So what are the stories? What is Asaph talking about? Now, you have to understand that what we hold in our hand is the complete Scripture. There's nothing to add or take away. This is the complete Scripture. But I have to ask you something. As we read through this, and maybe you're reading through it this year, you're reading through the Bible, when you get to the end, is God's story done? I mean, don't we often approach the text that way? I've read through the whole Bible. His story is done. I'll start again next year. And we read through it again and again. And one of the things we have to understand is that God's story is not done. The Scriptures have been written, but God's story is not done. God is greatly at work in and around us, and that is part of God's story. God is not finished. He's not on pause. He is still moving today, working. So let me ask you, what's God doing in your life? What is God doing in your life? What has he done this past week? And if you can, I want you to do something. If you can think about one thing God did this week in and around you, write it down right now. Write it down. What did God do in your life? And then, did you share that with your family? Did you share it with your family? Because if God's doing something, that is something to be shared. And let me say something to you, not to press on you or anything like that. But if you didn't share what God's doing, could you possibly be forgetting a command, not an option, a command that God has given you? We'll deal with the command in a second. But what are we supposed to pass on? Well, Asaph says something here. And if you look at your text, in verse 4, it says this, that Asaph is supposed, one of the things we're supposed to do is that we are supposed to pass on the praises of God. We are supposed to pass on God's might and the works that he has performed. Now, if we claim that we're a Christian, and many of you in here would say, yes, I'm a Christian, then you are directly linked to the stories of old, the ancient text, everything that happened with Israel, because without everything that happened with Israel, you can't get to you today in your faith. We are connected to that. And so let me ask, is your God deserving of praise? Is your God mighty? And has your God, the one that you claim, that you believe in, has he performed some incredible works? I would answer that question, yeah. My God has. So I want you to think about the stories of old. And we'll just take a simple story of the Israelites, the Exodus. Think about the Exodus story. The Israelites under oppression in Egypt, being beaten, abused, and God hears their cry. And the Exodus story happens, and God delivers them. God brings salvation to them. And that might sound weird to you, but think about it. He saves them from the oppression that they are under. We use the same thing. We have salvation. And what has God brought us from? The oppression of sin that is upon us. We can relate to the Exodus story. Now, why is that story important for the Israelites to pass on? Because it's God's redemptive work in an entire nation. That is a story that's not about patriotism. It's about God's glory being done on an entire people. That's why it has to be passed on. Now, I want, as you think on that, I want you to continue thinking about your life. How often do you think about God's work in your life? I mean, how often do you think on that? And how often do you speak of that to your family? I'm not talking about just your spouse, your family. When God's doing something or God brings something into your mind as you read his word, do you share that with your family? See, I think we've come to a place, quite honestly, in the busyness of our life, that we don't take time to think on that. To think, what's God done? What's God done today? What's he been doing around me? And if we don't take time to think on that, and to, in fact, maybe even write those things down, God today revealed this to me from his word, or God today did this in a relationship I had, God did this and that. If we don't take time to think on that, then let me ask you, grandparents and parents, what kind of faith are you passing on? See, if we don't take time to pour that out on those around us, this is what tends to happen. We get to a point whenever our children or our grandchildren are in a serious emergency situation, and we want them to understand what the faith is all about at that moment. And all of a sudden, we start sharing, well, God does this. God did this before, and he's done this and all that. And we start pouring all this stuff out all at once. And if we are not taking time to pass on our faith in what God is doing, what kind of faith are we passing on? Not much of one. We aren't. We pass on this, that God is there only for emergencies. He's our crutch. And Asaph is saying, no more. He writes this down. And if we truly believe that the faith we have is a faith that brings full life and a faith that is full of power, then the only way to reveal that is to pass it on every day, every week, every month, every year. That is what Asaph is pointing to. Now, Asaph reminds the Israelites and us this morning about something foundational. And I want you to look at verse 5. In verse 5, he says this, he established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children. Now here all of a sudden is that word, command. See, God commands us as a family structure to teach our children the stories of faith and a life of faith. That's what God commands. And it's not just for the Old Testament Jews. It is for us today. He has commanded you. And we have reduced that to an option. Whenever we look at this, I have to look at this and I have to say, okay, am I doing that? And this is the part where I don't like preaching this, because all of a sudden I realize what I've done. I have forgotten a command. I have forgotten a command to pass on my faith to my children and to children yet to be born. And so if it's a command, we need to ask the question, is it being done in our homes? Is it being done? Remember, I talked about a society. We've become a society who expects different places in our communities to raise our children. Different things that are taking place, and to some degree, we enter this place this morning with some of that expectation. And I have to tell you this. We must not rely on our Sunday school teachers, on our Awana program, on our student ministry program, on our women's ministry, on our men's ministry, on our small group ministry, on our discovery group ministry, on our SOS ministry, on every ministry that we have and every program that we have here to raise us up spiritually. That cannot be your expectation. Because in fact, there's another place that carries that role. And it's talked about here. See, we enter here, and that's the thing that we tend to expect, but I have to tell you, grandparents, parents, older siblings, the responsibility falls on you. The responsibility to pour the faith that you say you have over those in your family structure. You are to write the words over your house. Asaph is calling families back to this. Now, Asaph also reveals why this is important. Look in verse 7. So that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commandments. So first, they're to put their confidence in God. Now, quite honestly, how is the next generation going to understand what confidence in God is? Not from entering a place 1 or 2 hours a week. They will understand what confidence in God is by seeing parents and grandparents going through every hard situation that enters your home and your life, and you growing in your confidence in God, in what he does and in his work, and then you talking about it, even when some of the subjects are really hard to talk about. It's you passing on what confidence in God is. It's not just saying in an emergency situation here and there going, oh, we need to have confidence in God. It's every day saying, this is why we have confidence in God. The second thing that he says is that they don't forget God's works. I just asked you, what has God done in your life? Write it down. What is God doing in your life? And have you shared that with your kids or your grandchildren? Have you told them what God is doing? See, this is what you have to become. It's what I'm learning right now. You have to become storytellers. Storytellers of God's faithfulness and what he is doing. See, if you answer this, I don't know what God is doing, then this is what I'm going to say. We have to be intentional about setting time aside, not only to engulf God's word and soak it in, but we have to be intentional to have our eyes and our ears and our mind open to everything that God is doing around us. And if we aren't doing that, we cannot use the excuse, I'm too busy. We have to be intentional with understanding what that is and then passing it on. The third thing that Asaph says is this, so that they will keep his commandments. If the next generation is going to know what it means to keep God's commandments and to know what it's to be like to live in the ways of our Savior Jesus Christ, it's going to be because they see their parents and their grandparents doing it. Now, there's roles. I mean, I have the opportunity every Wednesday to watch a ton of students flock into that building who do not have parents or grandparents that are believers. And it's incredibly hard to walk home And to sit there and think, oh my goodness, they don't know the stories of faith. It's incredibly hard to see that that's not being passed on to them anywhere else. But for those of us that say, yes, I'm a believer, I am a Christian, then you parents and grandparents have to understand that the only way that they are going to understand what it means to walk like Jesus is because you are doing it. And here's a scary thought. Even four-year-olds know when you're not. It's your responsibility. It's on you. That's what's happening here. Asaph is saying this is what's to be done. Now here's the deal. When does this stop? I mean, when does it stop? This is what's happened. I fought with my dad some. I know, it's a shock, okay? But I fought with my parents. And my parents were faithful. I say that my mom's knees are going to end up being bad at some point for how much she was down praying for me. But I fought with them, and they raised me. And we're at a point now where my dad will call me and he will say, I just want to share this with you. This is what God taught me this morning in his word. Or this is what God's doing in my life right now. Okay, I'm in my 30s. I have my own kids and my father is still passing on his faith to me. It never stops. And I pray that I will cherish that all the days of my life. Your role never stops because you are part of a faith that is generational. So there's something that happens if this doesn't take place. And we find that in verse 11. It simply says, they forgot what he had done, the wonderful works he had shown them. And this is what I need to tell you from somebody who's working with students and observing things, is that it happened in Israel that they forgot. And it's happening here. Honestly, it's happening here. We have to look at this, and we can't understand anything less that if we move throughout each day and week without sitting and passing on our faith to those in our homes, that we are missing the command. And that if we are not doing that, and if you haven't taken the time this week to sit and talk to your children, I might need to say this, and it might sound harsh, but you are not fulfilling your role. You aren't. And if we aren't taking the time to soak in God's word and to have our eyes open to what God's doing, and if we hide that to ourselves and we don't share the struggles that we have, we are not being what Christ has called us to. And if you don't like me saying that, then you need to spend some more time in Psalm 78 and understand that God's calling you to something. Whenever I read this text, and I would encourage you today to read through the entire chapter, but this is what I understand, is as I read through this, I realize that there is a lot of times that the Israelites really messed up. And that a majority of the time, we see that God is faithful. And that he comes in and he rescues, and his redemption during Israel's wandering is overwhelming. And so there's times when I realize that my role in my children's life of passing on the faith can be a very humbling and overwhelming experience. And I believe that some of that is what took place with the Israelites. That it just became very overwhelming to them, but they didn't have any right to forget what God had done and not pass it on. And the same is for us. The thing that I love after I read through all of this and realize that you have a responsibility, I have a responsibility, is the last verse in Psalm 78. Asaph writes this in verse 72. He shepherded them with a pure heart and guided them with his skillful hands. That line right there is written about King David. And there's probably three things that all of us in here could say about King David. David killed Goliath. Good. You remember that story, okay? David was known as a man after God's own heart. And oh yeah, David slept with Bathsheba and sent her husband to the front lines to be killed so he could take her as his own. What? A man after God's own heart? Adultery. And yet, they fit together, and this is how. If you read through David's life, you realize that even after this terrible sin, and his sin is public while ours is not, his desire for the nation of Israel was that they would have God's will and God's best. It's his whole life. He desires God's will and God's best for his people. Now, if David feels that way towards an entire nation, how should we feel towards our children in our homes? Or our children that are often married or in college? How should we feel about that? It means that we should raise them with a pure heart and with the skills that God has given us. And if I want to ask this real quickly, is your will for your kids that they get great grades? They end up having a good ranking in their class. They go off to college and they find a really secure job that pays really well, and they have an incredible retirement package so that they are secure for the rest of their life. Is that your will? When we're sitting in church, it's really easy to say, no, my will is that they love God with all their heart and they pursue him. And I believe that we have that. But yet, there's times that these other things leak in, and we say, no, this is what we want. And so here's what I want to just tell you real quickly. If you desire God's will and God's best for your children, are you fine if they go off to a Muslim nation and are persecuted for their faith? Are you fine if they decide, no, I'm going to go work with the homeless or the drug addicts or the prostitutes or orphans, or I'm going to work somewhere that meets needs, and oh yeah, mom and dad, just so you know, I'm just doing it because God, I feel God's called me, but the pay really stinks. Will you sit there and go, awesome. See, we have to desire to pursue God the way that David did, with pure hearts and the skills that he's given us. And when we do that, we can then pass on our faith the way that Asaph's talking about in Psalm 78. The responsibility of them being raised spiritually falls not on Newcastle Bible Church, but on you. Grandparents, parents, older siblings, it falls on you. And when we have families that capture that, and we all come together, imagine what Sundays will be like. And imagine the impact we can have on those who have never had people in their life to raise them up in the faith. We must be about intentional, generational faith. So go and do it. God, I thank you for this text because there's often that I read it and I don't like it. And it reminds me of my role. And I pray that for myself, that I would be a father that passes on the great stories of faith that even continue today in what you're doing. Although the scriptures are complete, you are moving. And some of us this past week have gone through awful situations, and yet we can look back and we can see your hand moving in things. May we document that. May we pass that on. May we always talk about your great works and your faithfulness to us. And may our children, our grandchildren, and those yet to be born understand what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ because of the families that are present here this morning. It's your name I pray. Amen.